Warning, the following episode of the Mystic Times podcast contains spoilers for the Year of the Dragon adventure. If you're playing this adventure, check with your DM before you listen to this episode.
Hi guys. Do you like my American accent? I thought I'd put on it like, you know, the special effect announcer voice. Welcome to the next episode of the Mystic Times podcast. This episode is going to be a little bit different. So, just quickly, there will be some spoilers for the Year of the Dragon, Valley of the Dragon campaign. So, if you are playing that adventure, just be aware that, especially at the start of that adventure, I think if you're a little bit through it, you should be okay. But, yeah, the start of that, if you know that you're about to play that, don't listen to this episode. We're not going to do a lore, we're not going to do a game item, we're just going to talk about, well, it's kind of a game item, I guess. We're going to talk a bit about moral ambiguity and decisions that you can make your players have. So, on that note, let's get on with the show. Okay, so let's start off with the news. The news is basically that I'm a teacher and it's marking time, so shit all is getting done. So, yeah, as a teacher, I am currently doing all my marking and stuff like that. So, the time that I would be spending knocking out these things and getting them ready to go is sort of been eaten away. So unfortunately, progress has sort of ground to a halt. However, the good news is I'm almost through that. So we should get something published, I'm hoping, by the end of June. That's my goal, is to have something published by my birthday. I'm really hoping that I have enough money this week to buy my ISBNs and get my stuff edited up and sorted and everything ready to go and submitted so that I can get something in production by the end of June, because that's sort of my goal. That's like when I've set my own personal little goal. So that's the plan. In other news, not much else has been happening because of that. The only other thing is that we had our sort of second playtest session at GameZilla, and it went pretty good. I'm happy with it. I don't know if other players are happy with it. It sort of ended on a bit of a downer, which we're going to talk about after sort of this. But we sort of hit the first interesting twist on the story. So that's what's been happening. That's the news for today. Not much is happening, but stuff will be happening soon. So thank you for listening, and on with the next part of the show, I guess. That's not much happening at the start of the show. We'll be talking, having a big conversation at the end of the show. So here we go. Shoutouts. Okay, so I've got a few shout-outs. Obviously, Matthew Pablo Music, thank you for your awesome music. Thank you again to GameZilla, who are epic. And thank you to... I'm going to shout out Crit Academy Podcast, because if you haven't checked out those guys, they're pretty cool. I've been talking with them, and listening to some of their podcasts has sort of helped inspire me with some ideas of my own for later stuff, so I wanted to give them a shout out. If you guys don't check them out, go and check them out, they're awesome. Also, Game Master Stash, where I admin, if you're coming from there, thank you very much. If you haven't been there yet, go and check them out. They're on Facebook, facebook.com/GameMasterStash. They're very cool little site. They're letting me promote this episode on their website, so hopefully we get a few listeners. That'd be really cool. But there we go. That's our shout outs for this week. Alrighty. Welcome. Hello. So today's, I guess, game item is going to be talking a bit about moral ambiguity in gaming and role-playing games, and how we can sort of use this to really create meaning for our players, right? So as I said, this is, you know, your last chance. If you have not gone back to Rendrin Village after the first little dungeon, the Bear Cave, and in that Valley of the Dragons adventure, and you know that you are playing that, you might want to skip this one, but last chance. All right, so I thought we'll start very quickly by explaining, okay, so what is moral ambiguity, and why is it important? So moral ambiguity is where you put players in a position where their actions have some consequences, and you sort of make it so that there's not like a good and evil answer to the question, right? And the best way we can describe this and talk about this is by using the example that my party came across last night. So last night, I did my GameZilla gaming group playtest of the Valley of the Dragon adventure. And that adventure, if you haven't played it, starts with a bear cave, basically. You start at a bear cave. The premise, the background of that is, you know, some bears have sort of, you know, they live in this cave, and they're, you know, normally they're all good. Everyone avoids them. They avoid us. Not a problem. But they've come into town. They've attacked the town. They're, you know, raiding the food, eating the horses, you know, things like that. And, as a result, the town sort of hired some adventurers to go off and, investigate why have they left their cave, right? Why are they taking up place in the barn? And those adventurers didn't come back. So they hired a second group of adventurers, the B team, who took the money and ran. And then now we're onto the C team, and that is the adventurers who your players will be if you're GMing that, or if you're a player, that's who you'll be, right? This third auxiliary team who's, you know, decided to go and investigate the people who went to investigate, right? Pretty straightforward. And they get to the bear cave and they find all these mutilated corpses that have been trapped and attacked and killed of the adventuring party, the A team that went off to do their A team business, right? Very straightforward, very easy. The B team, obviously, is nowhere to be seen. And the C team is these guys. They go in, they have to work out what they're going to do. Now, in good old-fashioned, very traditional Dungeons & Dragons Pathfinder role-playing game style, the players will enter the dungeon, and they'll start exploring, and they'll get attacked by some low-level, you know, critters. In this case, it's serpentine, which, if you're not familiar with Mystic Times, they are basically kobolds, you know, the equivalent of kobolds. And they'll get attacked by, you know, it, from the darkness, some little kobolds will shoot some bows and arrows. They keep their distance. They don't really come up to attack unless they're cornered and threatened and stuff like that. They're really trying to attack defensively. There's lots of traps everywhere. So the players, they usually, when they get attacked by kobolds, they go in and cold-bloodedly slaughter them, right? Who wouldn't do that as a player? It's what Dungeons & Dragons is, what Tunnels & Trolls is, what Pathfinder is all about, is slaughtering minions, right? And that's exactly how players almost universally address this issue when you put it to them, especially if that's how you start the campaign, right? So the first session is them going through, doing like little traps, you know, getting rid of all the traps and, you know, identifying the dead guys and then getting attacked by these dudes who are in the shadows and stuff like that. And then the second session starts with them sort of, you know, seeing this big, beefy, boss-like dude, right? Well, the first session ends this way, second session starts that way. Very clearly, he's a boss. You know, he looks like a kobold, but he's a bit more meaty. He's got some wings. He's got blue scales instead of like the brownie scales, you know, and he's talking to this skinny, pale, white dude who has like this very fancy cloak that's like exuding shadow and stuff. And so obviously these guys are like, you know, big bads. And the players see them talking, and then the boss heads deeper into the dungeon. The scrawny shadow guy disappears into a puff of shadow, and then players are left to sort of continue through the dungeon. they continue through the dungeon into a massive ambush where about 12 to 20, depending upon how many players you have, of these little serpentine or for those of you who are not familiar, kobolds sort of attack. One of them is clearly like a leader, maybe two, depending upon how big your party is, with some magic items. And they fight very, very violently, like as a last stand for their lives. And they attack and they usually get destroyed because they're little kobolds, right? They're little serpentine dudes. And it's player characters. And this is what happens, right? And 9 times out of 10, players aren't going to ask questions. Now, then you get to this next section, which is where the sort of third major chamber happens, and they get to that chamber, and up ahead, they can hear these voices of them scurrying around and skittering and whispering, which is what they heard just before in the ambush, right? And they see, if they are lucky, they have a chance to see that these ones are there's a lot more of them, and they may see, depending upon how they roll, that they're also a bit smaller, and there's, you know, they don't appear as well equipped, and so they can sort of start choosing what they're going to do after that. Some players, you know, might charge in, fireball, you know, whatever. My players were lucky because one of them decided that he didn't want to go around through some of the smaller things and decided to climb up a thing and go through a different way, and others rushed in and stuff, and so they were lucky they didn't, you know, just wholesale slaughter all of them. When they get into that third chamber, they discover that these smaller kobolds are women and children that are hiding, and there's one more leader dude who has like some magic items who kind of tries to tell them to back off and to stop, right? But it's very clear that everyone in that room, apart from that leader guy, is terrified. In fact, he's probably terrified himself, and they're all freaking out. They're all really worried. And so the players then have to decide what they're going to do. Now, my players they took the correct path, I guess you could say, and they didn't slaughter the women and children. Yay, that's nice, isn't it? Don't you feel good about that? And they tried to sort of parlay with the big blue dude, and they managed to get an audience with him under the condition that the women and children would be released and let free, and they said, yep, that's fine, and they go in and they talk to him, and he tells them, you have just destroyed and killed all the men of our tribe. All that's left now is this big blue dude and his you know, lieutenant, depending upon if they've killed him. And, you know, if they do slaughter them, then the blue dude reveals that as well. You know, like, you've just slaughtered our tribe. Anyone with a mediocre to okay religion check can see that they are actually worshipping Ryujin, who is a neutral good god of dragons. So these were good dragons that they've gone ahead and killed. You know, and they're sort of, you know, supporting that. There's also going to be a bit of backstory that comes out about how, you know, this blue guy is a dragon, not a serpentine, and that his race has been more or less exterminated. And so, again, if they choose then to fight him, that's even more like, you know, he's an endangered species and you're choosing to fight that. And now we have a couple of paladins in our party as well, so that makes a big difference, right, as well. That's, you know, going to cause some dramas. But yeah, so you throw that at your players, and what are they going to do, right? Especially if they've already done the killing, especially if they've already done that damage. And that's really the setup here. That's the moral ambiguity that Mystic Times Adventures are going for. They want to put players in a position where they have to sort of work out, oh, you know, what is right? What is good? Define good, right? And is it what society deems to be good, or is there shades of grey? And in Mystic Times, there's always shades of grey. And as by putting this as the first quest that the players go on, by putting this at the first, you know, adventure that they come across, it really hits them hard. Okay, like, we finished our session, and my players were very quiet, very sort of not their usual, yeah, thanks, and that's rough as well, because I'm, you know, dealing with new players here, so I don't want to scare any of them off, so hopefully they'll be back You know, it's not too heavy a content to start with. But that's what I want to start with is, you know, putting this question to players, like, you know, what is the correct path? Now, another part of that discussion is that the big blue dude tells them, like, there's a war coming. The Draken are returning. The Dragon Lords are back. And, you know, they're going to want to take over the valley. They're going to want to start, you know, building their empire again. And so that's then, you know, the question then arises, like, okay, well, do you let the Dragon Lords come? Like, are they evil? What is evil when you're dealing with that, right? And that's what this whole campaign is going to be about and be like. So this podcast is to throw out, you know, this conversation about, you know, moral ambiguity. Do you use it as a GM? Do you use it as a game master? Is there a way that you can use it as a game master to, I guess, really make your encounters count? Why is this important, and why am I dedicating a whole podcast to it? The answer is, it's exactly that. You're asking your players to make a moral choice. You're asking them to decide, you know, I guess, like, what is the best course of action. And if they've already done the damage, if they've already done that damage, it's really hard to come back from that, you know? It's really hard to, you know, you can't unkill someone, you know? You can't unkill an entire tribe's worth of warriors, right? You can't give protection to this tribe, right? And then obviously there's going to be consequences to that. There's going to be an, you know, a flow-on effect. You know, these women and children, are they going to, you know, what are they going to do now? They don't have anyone to protect them from the bears that are in the cave, you know? They're going to have to leave the cave, you know? That you're going to have kobold refugees, you know, floating around. And how do you deal with that? What's the correct answer to deal with that? Obviously, their morals and their intelligence and stuff like that is not going to match with what the townsfolk have or what the townsfolk are saying or thinking or feeling, right? So, they just want them dead or whatever. So, and that's where you're really starting to create meaning. And for me, that's where all my stories try to aim to hit is, you know, what is life all about, you know, and what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, you can transfer that sort of a conversation to other things. But it becomes really heavy if you start talking about that sort of thing. I mean, we can talk about that sort of thing, you know, in regards to, you know, refugees in our own society, you know, in regards to military involvement in places like Syria or Palestine or whatever, right? We don't have those conversations because they're scary. But having them in a fantasy realm all of a sudden lifts a lot of that weight, and you get to play around with, you know, what really matters in life and what really matters to an individual. So that's what I wanted to talk about today, was moral ambiguity and its role in the Mystic Times. I think it's really one of the things that makes the Mystic Times as strong as it is and makes the stories as key as they are. So I would encourage you, if you're a game master, to play around with this idea of moral ambiguity. And it doesn't have to be as whole scale as sort of what I've done here. It could just be something simple like, you know, in town, maybe there's a tax collector and he's collecting taxes and maybe he's a bit rough about it. You know, do you step in? What happens if you step in? A big part of this is the consequences that happen after, right? What happens if you step in for that tax collector? What happens if you, you know, stop him from collecting taxes? You know, what happens? Maybe, so I've done this in the past. Maybe the players are friends with a shopkeep and the tax collector comes in and, you know, he's a bit rough and the shopkeep's struggling to make ends meet and he talks to the players. And maybe the players then decide, okay, well, we're going to deal with the tax collector. Maybe they rob him. Maybe they beat him up. Who knows? You know, whatever happens. You know, he's a shade of gray in terms of morals as well. And then, let's say he then gets run out of the city. Then what happens next? Is the king just gonna, or the lord of the town, gonna just be okay with that? You know, there's gonna be reparations that have to happen. You know, they're gonna have to come in and justify their actions. They're gonna have to come in and sort of, you know, explain why they manhandled such an important person, they're going to have to, hey, you know, where's the taxes going to come from? Maybe those taxes were going to paying for medicines that were going to get sent to the town. Maybe those taxes were going to pay, you know, mercenaries who are protecting the town. And without that money, all of a sudden now the town is in a bit more dire need, right? Maybe the king or lord doesn't realize that his people are just struggling to make ends meet. Maybe the tax collector didn't even realize that, you know, but, you know, what do you do? So, you know, you can use those sorts of ideas, as you've just seen, in two very good examples there. You could use those sorts of moral ambiguity in your campaign. I'd love to hear what you do. Please, you know, send me any cool moral ambiguity stories that you've done with your campaign to feedback@rjade.net, feedback at arjade.net. And yeah, you send those to me and I'll have a read of them, and I'd love to hear what you guys do. Am I being too harsh on my players as well? You know, tell me what you think. I'd love to hear back from people. I hope this has been an informational podcast. I hope this has been entertaining. And let me know if you want more like this, less like this. You know, let me know what you want. Thanks for listening, guys, and I'll see you in the next podcast. ciao for now, and yeah, let me know.